Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are working in me. Say, Lord, you are working in me. Your word is working in me. I'm an expression of your will. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm an expression of your will. I'm an expression of your will. I'm an expression of your will. Now, let's just do our declaration we normally do as we start to study. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Once again, that understanding will come to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you light and direction.
Amen.
He will heal you in every area.
Amen.
And it will make you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, so effective prayer, we've been looking at it. Can we just open our Bibles? I want us to read something. And this we are going to use to pray again. And don't forget what we've done in our school of prayer is to learn the habit of praying. Let's open to the book of Luke. I want us to read something from that book of Luke, just to explain the principle to us again. And I'm going to share something that Miles Monroe taught some time ago. I heard him. If you ever listened to his series on, was it Purpose Now or Potential? I think it's Purpose. I heard him talk on the issue of purpose. There's a principle he shared. Let's just read this one first of all, and then I will explain it. The book of Luke chapter 24. This was after the Lord Jesus rose up from the dead. And some people met him on the way, but they did not know who it was. Verse 13, and behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which are taking place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, Cleopas, answered, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened in these days? And then he asked them, what things? And they told him about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed. Verse 20, the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death, had him crucified. Verse 21 says, but we're hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. How did they do that? When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now, verse 24. For some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. Now, where I was reading all of this is to get to is verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Now, verse 27, please. Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, notice this. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, there were things concerning him in all the scriptures. And that's what I wanted us to read. That's verse 27. That there were things about his life described in the scriptures. We can look up from the Bible now. And I want to say something to you, that there are things concerning your own life to describe in the scriptures. That is a matter of fact. There is nothing about your life that has not been described in the scriptures. I want us to understand it. If you read your Bible, one of the prayers you must pray, okay? Jesus prayed like this: give us this day our daily bread. That prayer, you can take it literally, but I want you to take it from the spiritual perspective, in which the daily bread is not food. The daily bread is a word you need for that season. Are you getting my point? The daily bread is not food, but the word you need for a season. Man shall not live by bread alone. So I don't believe the emphasis of Jesus will have been on bread. He said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God doth man live. That is, each day you must pray, what is a word that will carry me through this season? There is a word. That's the way it goes. There is a word that carries you through a particular season in life. And that word, you must ask for it. You must ask for it. So when you are praying, you want to start something in life, okay, you can pray for all kinds of things, but ask the Lord, give me this for this season. Because I've explained here before that when you talk about day, it refers to each season of life. And each day is not necessarily 24 hours. A student who is about to start a subject, I mean, a course in school, and they tell me, we are giving you admission to study engineering for 5 years. The next 5 years is one day. Are you getting my point here? Is one day. That's one day. Okay? You're getting married today. You are stepping into a new day. You understand? There's a new day. You're delivering a child today. That's another day. You're traveling abroad for a course. That's a day. You may be gone for 2 years, but that's a day. Everything has a, and that's each season is referred to also as a day. For example, you hear that this is the day that the Lord has made, and will rejoice and be glad. He wasn't talking about a 24-hour period. All right? This day have I begotten thee. He was talking about a new day of resurrection there. So that's how it is. The day is not always a 24-hour period. The day refers to a new season, a particular period that we are going through in life. And each one must have his bread. Each one must have his word. There is a word that carries you through each season of life. It's very important. So when you want to start, your prayer must be, Lord, give us this day. Give me this day the bread I need for this season. Yeah, are you getting my point? It's crucial. You see where I'm going in a moment. I thought I was going to say something about Miles Morrow. Remember that? Okay, Miles Morrow said something. He was talking about some principles. No, just escaping. I didn't think about it before I stepped up here. It was when I got here. I just remembered it. And I said to work with what I'm about to say. Now, Miles Morrow said something that was talking about the principles of creation. I can't remember exactly what message. I think it has to do, it's something with purpose. Was it potential? No, I didn't listen to him on potential. I listened to him a lot on purpose. I think it's purpose. Yes. Now, remembering somebody said, yes, purpose. Yeah, do you know what I want to say? Yeah, agree. The Lord is good. I think it's purpose. Anyway, it leads us some principles, all right, of life. Now, one of the principles he shared is that, of course, he talked about everything is made from something, everything has a purpose, everything. He now said something, this is the only one I'm trying to remember now, or that I want to use to explain my teaching for this evening. He said everything must remain in contact with where it was made from in order for it to live. That the plants are made from the earth. Let the earth bring forth vegetation. So there is no plant that can live that is separated from the earth. Once you take the plant from the earth, it starts to die. That's the way it is. Why? It was made from the earth. It now says that God also made man from the clay. And there are two parts to man, all right? But the body of man, not just man, now all animals, is made from the earth also. So the man has to remain in contact with the earth to remain alive. What does that mean? That food is the earth. So you eat. That's sustaining yourself by where you came from. Your body came from the earth. So it must remain in contact with the earth. So you must continue to take something from the earth in order for you to live. That if you don't do that, of course, we don't have to. In fact, your body will tell you, speak English to you in a few hours. If you say, I've not felt the earth today, are you getting my point? You must eat something. We know that. So that's the principle of creation Miles Murray was explaining. Now, he now said that because the spirit of man, the real man, was made from God, he has to remain in contact with God in order for it to live. The moment you cut off that connection, the man starts to die also. That's it. It's not just the body now. The body, yes, needs to remain in contact with the earth in order for it to live, to continue to survive. But the spirit man must remain in contact with where it came from, because God breathed into the man the breath of life, and the man became a living soul, which means that the critical part of man came from the breath of God. So if you cut off that thing, that connection, he also dies. So man cannot exist without those two connections. One, from the earth. Two, the breath of God. Now, bear that in mind. Very important. You see what I'm saying in a moment. So when God, of course, anytime God wants to bring something to the earth, it's a word he speaks. Okay? And what am I bringing from there today? That's why I brought this one up. You will find out that every single time that God brings something from the word, with his word, that thing must remain in contact with his word for it to continue to exist. Is that so? Yes, it's in scripture like that. He sustains all things. How? By the word of his power. Without the constant release of the word of his power, the thing will disintegrate. Why? It's made by the word. Now, please bear that principle in mind. So, wherever you came out from, you must remain in contact with. Now, when God wanted to bring you and me, all right, to this earth, the same thing he did. He spoke a word. Now, concerning Jesus, who we are like, all right? We are in the image of Christ. That's what God is making us to be. That's what he has made us to be. We are the image of Christ. Now, let's look at this, the Lord Jesus again. We read from this book of Luke, chapter 24 here. In that verse 27, we saw that everything, okay, concerning the life of Jesus is explained in the scriptures. The Bible says that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. There's somewhere else he says that when they were speaking, he said, these things that you have observed were the words that I spoke to you before now. That is, everything you are seeing now were once spoken as words. Please, are you following what I'm saying here? Talk about the life of the Lord Jesus. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus alone for a moment. His life was first spoken as words. You know, today, I woke up, I took my Bible, I was reading. I caught something. Then I fell asleep thinking about the thing. Very interesting. I just saw a reference in the book of Hebrews where he said that to which one of the angels did the Lord ever say? So I felt like reading that portion. And I went to Psalm 97. And if you listen, were it not that I read that Hebrews chapter 1 first, I would not have realized that Psalm 97 was talking about the Lord Jesus. He was just talking about worship the Lord, everybody worship all ye gods, talking about that. What were in the book of Hebrews? He said, to which of the angels did he ever say? That is, the whole of Psalm 97 was written concerning the Lord Jesus. Let's just look at it. You see, now, we're not teaching on it at all. I just saw people looking at me like, what are you talking about? So, I want to show you what is there. Anywhere you see the Lord here, huh? Jesus is talking about. So the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. So let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Zion have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Lord. For you are the Lord Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let me just stop here. You know, you can read the rest of it later, okay? We're talking about the Son, and it was reading from Psalm 97. I don't know what I'm going to say here. You see, there is nothing. Listen, that's why Jesus, when he wanted to describe himself, he went to the scriptures and began to show them every single thing that he saw that confused them. He showed them in the Bible. What we call the Old Covenant, Old Testament now, the Law and the Prophets. Every single thing that confused those people, that some people said, look at it, we thought he would be the Messiah, now he's being killed. He showed it to them. Some people went to the grave, but did not see him. He showed it to them. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that every single bit of his life was described in the scriptures. You know, on Saturdays we are teaching about the way, the truth, and the life, and we're looking at the Lord Jesus. And you know, I mentioned the last time that, which was why I did it, I said, read the book of Hebrews. A lot was said about him. It was reading from that I just connected with this particular psalm. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You see that the life of Jesus was described in the scriptures, and I want you to understand, your own life too, which is derived from his own, has been described in this word. Are you getting my point here? Now, back to Miles Monroe, because you wonder what I'm talking about. Miles Monroe now said, and we have seen it's established on scriptural principles, in order for you to live, you must be connected and be fed constantly with the word that described your life. Am I saying things that are too deep? Everybody looking lost, as if I'm teaching advanced physics in primary school. You know, this kind of one that they are looking at, you say, go on, shave, lesson is 40 minutes. It's straightforward, now, is it not? What I'm saying is that we are taking Jesus as our example. We are fashioned in his image, okay? Everything about his life is written in the Bible. Using this one, the Law and the Prophets. And I'm saying your life, my life, exactly the same way, is described in scripture. That is a matter of fact. Now, we now use the principle that Miles Monroe, you know, explained to us, that whatever you are made out of, now, you are made by the word. Every time God wants to do something, the beginning is always what? The beginning is always what? No, I want a scripture. The word, thank you. In the beginning, what is the principle? There's the word. That's how it starts. God wants to start something, the beginning is always what? The word. Nothing starts. He said there's not anything that was made that was not made by the word. In the beginning, there is always the word. There is never anything except there is the word. So before you came into existence, there was a word. I hope you're getting my point here. There is always a word. Without a word, there is no existence. Without a word, there is no creation. Without a word, there is nobody that lives. Because the principle is that in the beginning, there must be a word. That's the way it works. So your life, my life, how is it? There is a word. Concerning the life of the Lord Jesus, we are all parts of his body. Okay? Concerning him, we saw him take the scriptures and read through them to show people everything concerning his own life. And Miles Monroe now said, that's what we're talking about, that in the beginning of your life, there was the word of God. For you to exist, you must remain in contact with the thing that brought you into existence. Otherwise, you dissolve. Using Miles Monroe's words, he said, in order for you to live. And we have seen that the word live is not just to breathe. Okay? For example, let's use marriage as an example. I get married. That marriage can live or it can die. It's not just about divorce now. To live means for it to breathe, for it to function, for you to achieve the reason why it was enacted. That's what it means to live. So he said, the just shall live by faith. You know, the wrong way we used to think about it those days is that, yes, as a Christian, I'm living by faith, all right? So, do you have money? No, I don't have, but I'm living by faith. I just, live by faith. That is, everything I'm doing is doing by faith. No. To do that is called walking by faith. There's a difference between walking by faith and living by faith. When I walk by faith, life is injected into me. So you say, I'm alive by faith. So the just shall be alive by faith. That's why I titled that book, By Faith, Acquire Life. So when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, what it means is that he was supposed to die. But why did he not die? Because of faith. Faith allowed him to remain alive instead of dying. So when we use the word live in scripture, therefore, what we are saying is that the thing is functioning. The thing is working. What God created it to do, it is doing it. So Miles Monroe said, in order for you to achieve this life, you must be connected with what made you. So please, I hope you are getting my point here. So what am I trying to say? And no, I've said this again and again, but we can't say these things enough. We'll continue to say it. There is nothing about your life and my life that has not been described by the word of God. There is nothing. In the beginning was the word. Before you came into existence, there was the word. Now, what Miles Monroe is now saying is this. If Assuming I'm, let's just take as an example. I'm that marriage thing is an example. If the marriage is now not working, it's not living, it's as if it is dying. He said the reason is because of what? Disconnection with the word that created it. It is not that this man has not learned the things that make a woman happy. It is not as if the man has not learned how to, you know, he has not learned his wife's love language. Now, believe me, I believe in learning your wife's love language. It makes your life easier. Are you getting my point? But that is not the foundation of it. He said if it is dying, there's been a disconnection between where what began it and the people that are operating it now. If there's no disconnection, life will have constantly flowed into it. So if it is not living, you are getting it now? There's this disconnection. So he said in order for it to live, there must be a connection, a constant connection with what started it. You know, we were looking at the picture in my house again this morning, my wife and I, and she was just shaking her head. And Prime Minister or President of Luxembourg, a man, went with his husband for this last meeting that our president went for, with Donald Trump, was the oldest people. Is it G7? Okay, not the other people came too. I thought they said the G7. Anyway, everybody joined the G7. Anyway, this guy is the head of Luxembourg, and he came with his husband. Yes, you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He came with one guy like this. They got married in 2013 or 2003, some years ago. And this was a spouse that followed the head of state for an international meet. When I saw the picture, I said, I remembered in my secondary school, when our BK teacher was teaching us about Sodom and Gomorrah, I did not think I would see it in my lifetime. Honestly, I didn't know it was possible. The Bible says their glory is their shame. That is, they are proud of what they should be ashamed of. You now say that he come out of the closet. Bring your madness out of the closet. Let's all know you are crazy. Are you getting my point? And one funny head of state of the most powerful country in the world actually sent a tweet to congratulate a 62-year-old man who said he's not identifying as a woman, all right? And say it takes courage to do what you did. That was why God gave them Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, I will undo all the rubbish that you people did. And Sadhu Salvaraj said, God prepared him for the post. So any rubbish you see Donald Trump do is the will of God. Trust me. God sent him to go and embarrass people. That by the time he's done, all their heads go correct. That Donald Trump is a sign of God's mercy for that country. Now, let's not go there. Let me stick with the Luxembourg Prime Minister who showed up with his husband. Children are getting confused. They're sad. The grammar is not correct. It has to be her husband. I don't blame you. You know, children are getting confused now. While the President or Prime Minister of Luxembourg traveled with his husband, it is because when men disconnect from the flow of life that comes from God, their common sense vanishes. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. They continue to eat the produce of the earth. The flesh takes over. The spirit that keeps them in check doesn't work anymore. You cannot disconnect from God's word and you remain sane. It's not possible. Oh, you can't. That's why I went to all of that. So anytime society disconnects from the word of God, what happens is that they begin to decay. They begin to decay. Paulson said that some of these things, those sexual deviancy you see, that they are not the things that's annoying God. He said they are signs that God is angry already. And he was quoting from Romans chapter 1. That therefore, because they were not thankful, God took them and gave them over to depravity. So that's a judgment. That's stage 1. Worse things are coming. That now begins to amplify. You know, there's a Bible because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Then the iniquity starts packing up. It starts packing up. But let's sit on our message. Our message is that's why we need to be connected constantly. The word that gave you life. Miles Monroe said, where your life began from, you must be constantly fed from there. Are you getting my point? That is, if God says to you, let there be light, and you came into existence, so your name is light, then every day, you must go back and hear that word again. light be. You go back and hear the word light be, because they said that's what God said literally. He said light be, and then there was light. Now, anytime light disconnects from hearing the word light be, it turns to darkness. The functioning of the word of God is a continuous thing. It's not a once it is done thing. No. It's a continuous flow. It's like current. It must continually flow. If it does not, the thing that was begun with the word collapses. That's how the word works. It starts something that has to be sustained. Read that Hebrews chapter 1. Everything was created by him. Then, but now, everything has to be sustained. The same way it was created. The same way it was created. He upholds all things by the word of his power. You know, for a long time, I used to wonder, they say Jesus prayed all night. What was he praying about? It's not these days I'm getting the understanding. In the recent years. Those are the things. Sometimes he just speaks a word. Why am I going to succeed in life? It's not because I know how to work. It is because the word said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. That's the word that began you and me. Do you understand? So for us to succeed, for us to live, we must remain connected with that word. Not like I've heard it before. That's like God didn't give us new Bible every day. No. It's the same one. He said, just continue feeding on the same thing. So in the morning, take it. It's as if you're hearing it for the first time. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. You take the scripture. You read it out to yourself. Be fruitful. What you're doing is that you are sustaining yourself with the thing that began you. You see what I was trying to explain in the beginning? That's what I was trying to explain. That so from scripture, you find what the Lord Jesus did was to show them these were the things that, or these are the things that are my life. These are the scriptures that brought me into existence. These are the scriptures that sustained me. These are the scriptures that created the things that I was. I am the Word. So when they were wondering what happened to his life, he showed them there. This was what happened. Now, I've tried to bring out something here. It is possible for the Word to say something, then we disconnect from it. Having disconnected from it, you know what happens? We start experiencing the opposite of what the word said. Why? Disconnection. The thing begins to die. It begins to die. It begins to die. It begins to die. From the day they eat of that fruit, they disconnect, you understand? And then they start dying. Dying. You know, the literal Hebrew says, dying you shall die. That is, the dying process commences. So if I discover dying process in my life, I instantly know that what? There's been what? A disconnection. That's why all of us feel this dying thing in the flesh every day. What I mean by the dying thing? You're tired. You're thirsty. They say, run. Oh boy, I can't get up. Then your friend says, you have disconnected from the earth. Do you follow my point? Then he goes to buy you a snack. Say, eat this. That is earth again. You take the earth from which you were, your body was made. You eat it. And then after a while, you dissolve the earth into your system. You are rejuvenated. That's a death process that you have turned around by reconnecting with the earth. We call it eating. In the same manner, all right? Sometimes in life, things are not working the way they are supposed to work. What is prayer? Prayer is like, go and take, you know, I said prayer is not desire. You know, we've been saying it for some time. Prayer is not desire. It's not desire. Prayer is that the word that made me have disconnected. That's what prayer is. So I go back to the word and say, oh yeah, time for reconnection. And that's why, listen, you can't be a Christian without being a Bible reader. There is no other way. I keep on saying that we have this Roman road. You know I talk about Roman road? We talked about it some time ago. God gives something for each season to allow us to do what we are supposed to do. God made, so that Paul and Co. could advance the gospel. He made the Romans conquer everywhere, gave them technology to build paved roads so they could travel great distances in a short while. These days, we have devices. 64 gig memory card now. It's not a big deal anymore. Remember the first day I bought a SIM card, a flash drive, generally from downstairs, Multicom here. 15,000 naira for 512 megabytes. 15,000 naira when 15,000 naira was three times what it is today. Like today, I tell you, I buy a SIM with a flash. So how much? I said 40K. So how many? I said it's half a gig. 512 megabyte, a flash drive. And that kind of, you know, when boys used to wear their flashlight cross. Do you still remember those days? You wear your flash like an emblem. Because I got a flash, you got to see it. You know how much flash drive is? First day I saw a flash drive, my friend brought it out and showed it to me that I'm one of the few people that's going to see it. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not joking, you know. So he said, I want to show you something. He brought it out from under the, you know. I said, what is that? He plugged it to the computer that is called a flash drive. Eh? What does it do? So, sometime later, I now bought my own. 15,000 naira. 512 megabytes. If I'm mistaken, that means I bought two for 15,000. But I know I paid them downstairs here. 15K. Because I remember that day I bought two. So I don't know whether I give them 30K. Or 15,000 for two, but I bought two that day. Downstairs. Black thing like this. 512 megabytes. But now. Somebody say, but now. But now. that one, there was no micro SD. Now, one tiny micro SD card. When I bought my phone, I bought a 32 gig card. And pushed it into the Samsung, thereby increasing the memory to almost 50 gig. So I carried the whole of the report and dropped there. Bible, put. They never even fool. The only thing that can fill that in is plenty of videos. And I don't use many videos. It's called a Roman road. What I'm trying to say, life is so easy now to be a good Christian. Why? Because the most important thing to be a Christian is to have the word being fed into you constantly. When you see a whole society that the prime minister travels with his husband, just nobody's reading Bible again in the place. The prime minister travels with his husband. They're not reading the scriptures again. The word of God is not flowing into them. Life has been sapped. The whole society is dying. What am I going to say? So when we find things not working the way they are supposed to work for us, it is that the word that brought us to life. I was giving that marriage as an example. When marriage begins to die, you know, what happens is that people now start trying to sustain it with a lot of psychology. What happened? He's always telling me that I don't know how to handle money. Why are you telling your wife that she does not know how to handle money? Does she know how to handle money? No, you don't have to tell her. So what's her love language? What do you mean? She speaks Isha and TV. Love language? No, that one is French. When I want to speak, tell her, I love her, I say, me and more, Abby. What is it? No, the man said, no, that's not what I mean by love language. What I mean is that, how do you communicate you love her? You know, we sit down there, we start learning all kinds of methods. They come for counseling again and again. God just shakes his head. See, look at these foolish people. What began marriage? It was because I said, it is not good that this man is alone. So if it's dying, it is because they've cut off from the word that existed, that brought them into existence. It's not because of this technology, it's not this method, this psychology. No. Who said what to whom and what, on what occasion? And you see you and your wife always arguing, why shouldn't I say that? Shouldn't I say, listen, two of you are not reading your Bible. You are not praying. You are praying, no? What I mean by you are praying? You are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, we will buy a car. Father, in the name of Jesus, we will increase the size of our house. And Jesus, that's not, you know, you're not praying real prayer. They are praying gentilic prayers. You know what they call gentilic prayers? Gentiles. Anytime they show up for prayer, they say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? God, the food yesterday was not enough. You gave us bread, you did not put egg. We came today to ask for the egg. Like the people of Israel in the wilderness. So that's kind of, but I'm talking about real prayer. That is, you take the word, just read the word. Why? That's your life. Just take scripture. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. That's the word. You're describing the word. You're just reading the word. You're not asking for anything. I can't imagine Jesus stood up all night asking God, what will you do for me tomorrow? No. Prayer is we are taking life and we are connecting with life that began us in the first place. If you're always falling sick, today you are tired, and then you know you just start getting injured anyhow. I mean, you're not the only one in society, but now you go fall into a gutter. You're entering your house, you hit your own elbow against your own door. Your own house. As an adult, you fall, come off of bed. You know that kind of thing. Next day they see your head is swollen. You're walking on the road, somebody mistakenly puts a finger in your eye. Next time you're wearing dark bones, only you. Let's not talk about malaria. They've treated malaria now with 7 different drugs. It has not gone away. The nurse says it's not malaria, it's typhoid. And like some labs will lie to you that they saw small typhoid. You know, have you heard that joke before? I hope you know it's a medical lie. There's nothing like that. That thing does not exist. It's how laboratories deceive people to collect their money. So the test has small. Now, I'm not saying that as a pastor, I'm telling that as a pathologist. You understand my point? It's a lie. It's like telling somebody that you think you have small meningitis. Does it make any sense? No, that's like they just say, they've seen the result, but there's small typhoid in it, so they give you small antibiotics. That is medical foolishness. Doesn't exist. Now, that's not part of the message. I'm just trying to educate you. It does not exist. Anyway, back to the man who's falling sick. He don't fall down for bed. He don't jam something, elbow in his own house. Okada keke is passing. He jam you. In 1 month, you have had like 15 accidents and mistakes and malaria, and they've been treating your small typhoid. My brother and my sister, if I were you, I would go and fast. I'm talking about real fasting, not hungry fasting. No, don't worry. No enemies after you. That's the lie they tell you in some churches. There's nothing like that. What did I say? No, I didn't hear you well enough. There's nothing like that. Who is doing this to me? It's a lie. Nobody's doing anything to you. What is happening is that dying, you are dying. Are you getting my point? And what is the reason for the death? Disconnection. That's all. So what I'm talking about fasting is go and reconnect. The reason that God is letting you know that too many activities every day is distracting you from God's word. If you check it a month before these problems began, you've been waking up at 4 o'clock, getting out of the house by 5, and you spend that 1 hour dressing up, quickly ironing before EDC goes off. And you leave in the morning, boom, you don't come back till 10:30. By that time, you know the kind of tiredness that you don't remove your shoes. You enter the house, say, let me just relax more. By the time you wake up, it's 4 again. Like one of my friends does this. His own is so bad that many times we'll have to open his door to put off the stove from catching fire in the whole house. You're in your own apartment next door. You are smelling something like bingo, you know? This is again and again and again. He's burning the house down. Oh, just go there. Just put off the fire. The whole place has turned to charcoal. Once anything, you lock the door again and go back to your apartment. You wake up in the morning and see that the food he was cooking is burnt, and he doesn't know how the fire went off. Let me not tell you about the ones in which you say, let him eat some bread. Meanwhile, you put the bread in the mouth, chew it twice, and sleep off. I am not joking. You'll have to wake him, so boy, spit that bread out of your mouth. You do that for 1 month. Of course. Nothing like, you know, you only pray the prayers of habit. Father, the demon of Jesus will come into your hands. I'm going about it. Listen, that's why you have been having accidents. That's why somebody has mistakenly put finger in your eye. That's why you fell from the bed. That's why your elbow injured. All of this, God tapping you. It's angels that are tapping you. See, this guy, you are dying, you don't realize it. You are disintegrating, you don't realize it. You are falling apart, you don't realize it. Why? Because the word that created you, you have not connected with it in a while. So when I say go on a fast, that's what I mean. I don't mean go and fast and find out who are the people attacking you. You know, this devil, I've told it again and again, he doesn't do anything to Christians. You know why? He can't. The only thing he does is tempt. Try to deceive. And upon those two, he goes for accusation. But as they say, okay, I will just enjoy you, he does not have the power. In himself, he doesn't. So someone that says, nobody's doing anything to you. There was a time I was ill like that when I was in Lagos, years ago. In fact, till now, anytime I'm not feeling well, that is how I treat it. Just settle down and take a book, the Word of God, and just start reading. Just carry Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, Two Kinds of Faith, just start reading it. Because that's where your life came from, the Word of God. Just start reading. It's not any, you're just connecting. You're just reconnect. That's all. I just put, I was talking about technology. 32 gig on the phone. What is it doing more than storing the Word of God? You just tap it. Boom. In fact, I have some messages I used to encourage myself. You know, there are messages you used to encourage yourself. There's one I played the other day. That was just about three. I woke up early in the morning. I put it on. One full hour. It was nice. Because I just slept for a long time. So I was able to lie down here through and through. Answering the call by Kenneth Hagin. Simple word, it just encourages you in ministry. It makes you more anointed than before. I have messages like that. I have a series on praise and thanksgiving. The praise cure. Things like that, those messages that he's not really teaching much. He's just talking and talking and talking. As he's talking, life is just flowing into you. There are messages like that. You take a man like Derek Prince, aggressive prayer. You just listen to it. If you were sick before, you would get well. Some sicknesses that don't like the word, most of them. Well, you've not prayed about them. Just say, I have migraine, stay there, don't go anywhere. And listen to a simple message that's teaching on the second coming of Christ. You wake up, say, migraine, I told you to stay. Say, okay, that your head is not a good place. I'm sitting in the side where the word is coming from. The sickness will just go by itself. Why? It's because life is being injected. That's what we're talking about. We're created by the word. We are sustained by the word. That's what I'm saying. In fact, I started with that statement. All my physics at the beginning will have been easier to understand. We're created by the word. And we are sustained by the word. So what is prayer? To find the word. The same word that created everything in your life. Prayer is to take it and, how do I say it? He said, once he has spoken. What did he say? What did he say? Twice I have heard it. Now, let's look at it like this. Once he spoke, good. The first time I heard it, I was created. The second time is for sustainers. Are you getting my point? Once he speaks, that same word, he doesn't have to say, it's not another word, it's the same word. That same word, he said, I looked at you and I said, leave. I saw you in your blood and I said to you, leave. It means anytime I'm falling back to what I used to be, I go back to that word and hear it again. Leave. Once he has spoken, twice I have heard it. The first time is the time he said, leave. And I got up from where I was dead. Then anytime I want to collapse back, I hear it again. That second time is a constant hearing. So there is a word, like I said, why do we have food to eat? It is not because we know how to walk. It's because the Heavenly Father sustains us. Are you getting my point? So if there's no food to eat, therefore, God didn't forget his job. It is not as if the sustaining power of God has disappeared. It's the connection. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what do? We go back and reconnect. No. As believers, let's take finance as an example. We have learned enough word about finances. Now, to know that it's not asking God for money that brings money. It is taking the word that he has spoken, upon which we began to pray in the first place, and lift that word up all the time. That's what brings money. So if I'm broke, I say, why am I broke? It's because I have disconnected with the word that says the child of God will not lack anything good. Like I said, experiences don't disprove the word. It only proves that we have disconnected from the word. Do you follow my point? So if God says something about you, you are not experiencing the way he said it, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's saying. Or he didn't say it correctly. It only means that you have disconnected, you have been attacked. It's now your duty now to reconnect and sustain ourselves by that word. So anytime there is a, you know, death process, it's a sign. It's a sign. That's why I gave the example of the man. Today you injure your eye. Tomorrow fall down from the bed. Tomorrow, you know, you fall down inside gutter as an adult. You know, stuff like that. Ah, and I say, well, enemies are pursuing me. No, no, no. These are angels tapping you. So, boy, you are too busy. Oh, boy, you are not feeding well. Oh, girl, come back. Relax. Take the word of success. Believers don't succeed because they know how to hustle. No. How did Jabez succeed? Is the prayer. Like I said, when you pray, you ask for what? Daily bread. I was teaching something in my corridor that day. Very funny. You know, the man Jabez, he did very well. He built one mighty company, you know. What they call it? Jabez Holdings. Under Jabez Holdings, there were all kinds of companies. There's Jabez Foods, Jabez Transport, Jabez Communications, all kinds of things. Man made a lot of money. But that's how he did do it. He will now open, people will now be writing books on the Jabez principles of business success. Jabez wakes up early. Jabez knows people. Jabez employs the best staff. All of these things, lies. Why did Jabez succeed? Because he went and prayed, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed." That's a matter of fact. How did Jotham succeed? You go there, you see Jotham Group of Companies, worth $75 billion. They now write lying books, investment principles of Jotham, you know, accounting principles of Jotham. Are those things wrong? No. They are in themselves. They are called pillars of success. But the foundation, he were not there. The man prospered because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. I'm trying to emphasize something. So Christians don't succeed by the outward things. They succeed because the word has come into their lives. And that word produces. What if he doesn't know accounting? The word will teach him accounting. What if he does not know people? The word will bring connections. What if he has a bad location? The word will move into a good location or change his location to the good one. You know, the word can redirect traffic. Yes. Say one old woman once, she heard that if you speak to a mountain, it will move. And there was one mountain near her house. So she spoke to the mountain. This mountain move. Did the mountain move? Yes, it did. How did it move is the question. One day they were doing construction somewhere. They were looking for earth to fill somewhere. So can we remove this hill near your house? How much will you pay? So Julius Berger, whoever came, evacuated all the sand there, and that's how the mountain became a plain ground, as if the rubber bear was coming. What I'm saying is, so the word knows how to arrange things. That's what I'm going to emphasize by that. The word knows how to arrange things. It knows how to arrange things. So Christians, we are having issues, the word of God teaches us, that is because of disconnection. So what is prayer? We're talking about effective prayer. Effective prayer is that which word produced me? That's the first hearing. To be sustained, I hear it what? A second time. Let me just say this again, even though I've said it so many times. The word does not always, you know, when I was a younger person, I used to think that you hear scripture, then if you taught and you didn't tell me, do this, do this, do this, do this, I felt that the message was not complete. But I now found out later, no, it doesn't work like that. You can hear a word which does not have any explanation. Like God telling Abraham, a father of many nations I have made you. He didn't tell him what to do with Sarah or anything. Just a father of many nations I have made you. The word can work out the details. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 says the word is alive and what? Active. That's why Isaiah 34 tells us that if the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will go out and go and gather. Are you getting my point? That is, a man can suddenly from being poor become very rich just by reading, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. He just lie down and says, be fruitful. That's the word. Multiply. That's the word. As he's abide believing, he said, this is what the word says. And listen, it's not as if I have used that scripture, and it's not working again. You hear what I said? Yeah, increase the dose. You increase the dose. That's why God doesn't bring us a new Bible every day. What he does, look, for each season, if he gives you a word, hold on to that word until the new season comes. Please go and listen to this series, the message by Derek Prince, Aggressive Prayer. Talks about Holy Spirit-inspired prayers, targeted. Just a simple word based on scripture. And he will pray the same prayer over a situation for weeks, for months, until that situation cracks. That's what Christian prayer is. Christian prayer is not the ability to shake your head. No. You say, which word brought me here? Let me take that word and continue on it. If things are not working the way they're supposed to be working, it's because there's been a disconnection. So I reconnect with the word. Thank God for Miles Monroe who taught us that thing. That anywhere you came out from, you must be connected with it for you to do what? To live. Let's rise to our feet. I want to read some scriptures. There are two of them I came with, so let's just good time to read them now. I want us to read two Psalms, 91 and 121, and maybe we'll read 123. Let's just start with one of them, 91. Like I said, the word doesn't, it's not about making sense, it's just about receiving it. Psalm 91. Let's do it the way we did it last time. What we're just doing, that's what prayer is. I said it before, prayer is not what you are thinking. Prayer is what God has thought of. Are you getting my point? Yes, prayer is what he has spoken. That's what prayer is. It's taking what he has spoken and putting it on your own lips. It's making the word of God your own word. He said the angels hearken to the voice of his word. That is, he spoke it. That's not just what they are hearkening to. It's the voice of his word. There's a reason why he used that expression. The angels that hearken to the voice of his word. That is, anytime they hear the word, even if it's not coming directly from the mouth of God, they still hearken. I hope you're getting my point here. So if prayer is making your voice the word of God that's coming through you, that's what prayer is. It's all giving your voice to God's word. It's putting God's word into your heart so that when you open your mouth, the word of God comes out. That's it. These days, if there's a situation, I get notified of a situation. The first thing I do is two things I do. I think I mentioned it here before. Two things. One, what did God say about it? What's the word of God about it? And what is his name in that area? Because he said he has exalted his word together with his name. That's both of them go together. You understand? Both of them go together. What did he say? What is his name? Those two things, we put them up. That's what prayer is. I think we have done a lot of disservice to ourselves. A lot of times, just looking for words to use to magnify our problems, claiming we are praying to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That you spend 1 hour telling God what is going on. And he's saying that, I think this boy thinks I'm not aware. No, there's a reason why Jesus said, your father knows already. Yeah, there's a reason why he said it. He said, before you come to prayer, he knows. So describing in details what is going on, it's almost like telling that, I know you are not aware. You've been around Jerusalem. You're not there when they are crucifying Jesus. Let me explain what happened to you. We're not supposed to spend 1 hour describing our problems, then spend 5 minutes telling him what we want him to do. And then we'll now do the token gratitude, thanksgiving. So anytime you pray, you must end it with what? Thanksgiving. Say, Father, I thank you because you know you have heard. And God said, I heard. 1 hour of complaint. But it's supposed to be, yes, like I said, when you want to tell God things, it's dismissive. Prayer is supposed to be, what to stay on is, what did he say about it? Look at the way those guys played in the book of Acts. He said, Lord, though, You that said this. Now behold, they are threatening. One single statement about the problem. It's not, Lord, they flogged me. Peter, bring your back. Let me count the number of strokes that they gave Peter. 1, 2, 3. Lord, I hope you are noting it. What are you going to do? They are our enemies. Who is they? James, did they beat you? Yeah, James, come. Turn your back for the Lord to see. He said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. Now this is what we want you to do. Just do miracles, signs, when we mention the name of Jesus. That was the end of prayer. I think too many details in prayer, they spoil something sometimes. Let's read God's word to him. That's what prayer is. That's what I understand now. Psalm 91, let's just read it. When we finish that, we'll go to Psalm 121. And then maybe we'll get to the other one too. Now, 91, I'll read verse 1. Then please you read verse 2. And then we'll read verse 16 together when we get there. Verse 1, I read, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. my God, in whom I trust. Please notice that verse 2. I like King James says, I will say of the Lord. And I like that because he's telling God, remember we said, there's what he has spoken, there is his name. Two of them are what? Magnified together. He says, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, in the shadow of the Most High, you are bound under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what he said. Now, this is his name in that area. My refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's his name. That's a name. We magnify that name. Let's continue reading. It says, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is his shield and bulwark. Verse 5. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Say amen first.
Amen.
Verse 8 now says what? You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. As a result, verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. Can we just take a minute, just personalize verse 10. Say it to yourself, no evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Say it again. No evil will befall me or my household. No plague will come near my dwelling. He said, for he will give his angels charge concerning you. Say amen, please.
Amen.
And they will guard you in all your ways.
Amen.
Verse 12. They will bear me up in their hands, that I will not dash my foot against a stone. Read verse 12 again in a personal way. They will bear me up in their hands, that I will not dash my foot against a stone. Now you will say amen to this. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra.
Amen.
The young lion and the serpent you will trample down.
Amen.
Now verse 14, let's read together. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up securely on high, because he has known my name. Now let's reverse it and personalize. Say, I have loved the Lord. Repeat it. He will deliver me.
He will set me up on high,
where I will be secure.
I have known his name.
Verse 15, let me read verse 15 to you. Say, you will call upon him and he will answer you.
Amen.
He will be with you in trouble.
Amen.
He will rescue you and honor you.
Amen.
And let me read 16 to you so you can say, with a long life he will satisfy you.
Amen.
And will let you see his salvation.
Amen.
Now let's personalize 16 together. With a long life, he will satisfy me and will make me see his salvation. That is that's prayer. We are praying this evening. Are you getting my point? Listen, I say it all the time. There is a word that covers every situation of your life. There is. You are not existing by chance. Do you understand my point? And God made provision. It's like you are traveling. You send your son, okay, go somewhere. He's traveling. So you give him, all right, when you get to Onitsha, you need to eat. You give him money first you give him transport money with which he will pay from here to, he's going to Lagos. Then by the time he gets to Onitsha, he'll be hungry. So buy something when they stop. When you get to Ore, buy something. When you get to Jebu, then when you get to Lagos, call Uber. This amount they are going to charge you. Are you getting my point? You pay. You made that provision for that journey. Why? You sent the person. When God wanted to send provisions for you and for me, you know what he did? He packaged his word. That's the provision. That is the provision. That's why we don't play with it. That's why we can't afford to play with it. I was talking about the Roman road earlier. That's why the devices around us, let's fill our lives with the word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, let's fill it because that is what you need when it's time to pray. That's what you need. That's what you need. If your child comes to you with a complaint, you pray with the word. If you have a complaint, you pray with the word. You know, the other day, my son came and said that he thinks our puppy is sick. He's not feeling well. So I asked him what happened. He told me. I said, okay, I'm coming to see. But I remember as soon as he left, first thing I did was that, what does the Bible say about my dog? I'm not kidding. As soon as he left, my mind just said, what did the Lord say about my dog? One scripture came to my mind. He perfects all things that concern me. That's it. All things. Once it concerns me, the Lord perfects it. So I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, healing for my puppy. Yeah, that's it. I told you that day, I just got a call. I just got a message. This brother was kidnapped. The first thing I said, Lord, what did you say about it? A scripture just swept, it's as if something just swam into my head. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. That's how we pray. Prayer is not shouting, no. It's not shouting. Look, the only time Jesus raised his voice was at the tomb of Lazarus. And he said, I want everybody to hear the prayer. Otherwise, he will have whispered to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus will come out. People won't know why he came out. Prayer is not about shouting. I'm not saying, we know what fasting is now, don't we? But prayer is not about whether you're hungry or you're not hungry. Hannah, one of the major prayer results we see in scripture, the Bible says she rose up after eating and drinking and went to pray. And she got there, she was so silent that they thought she was drunk because her mouth was moving and the old man did not hear anything. So he assumed that she was drunk. I hope you're following my point here. Prayer is what did God say about it? What he has spoken and his name in that area is what we lift up. We lift those two things up and that's when we say we are praying. That's how we can repeat the same thing again and again, and it's not vain repetition. If you are describing your situation, God says, are you saying I'm not aware of it? Jesus specifically said, the Father knows before you ask. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Let's just repeat a few scriptures there again before we go. Let me just pick a few verses. You understand? I think it's good for us to just repeat it to ourselves. Let's just say it again. Say, the Lord is my refuge.
The Lord is my refuge.
My fortress,
my fortress,
my God in whom I trust.
My God in whom I trust.
He delivers me from traps,
he delivers me from traps,
and he delivers me from the deadly pestilence.
He delivers me from pestilence.
See, I will not be afraid of the terror by day,
I will not be afraid of the terror by day,
or the bullet that flies by night.
Or the bullet that flies by night.
Say, 1,000 may fall at my side,
10,000
may fall at my right hand,
it will not come near me.
Say it will not come near me. Say, I have made the Lord my refuge.
Say,
the Most High is my dwelling place.
No evil will befall me.
No plague will come near my dwelling place. Say, no plague will come near my dwelling place. Say, he has given his angels charge concerning me. They will keep me in all my ways. They will bear me up in their hands. And I will not injure my foot. I will tread upon the lion and the dangerous serpent. And they will not harm me. Because I have loved the Lord. Say, I profess my love for the Lord. And I know he will deliver me. I will call upon him. And he will answer me. He will rescue me in the time of trouble. With long life, he will satisfy me. And I will experience his salvation. Like the reference we say, if you believe it, you should give thanks. Let's just take a minute and just say, Father, we thank you. Just thank you for these words. If you really believe, you should be grateful. That is the supply. That's what he has supplied to help you. That is the supply he has provided. That is the provision he has to keep you. That is the provision. Let's just take a minute and just say thank you. That is the provision. That is the provision. That is the provision. That is the provision. Let's just give him thanks. Just appreciate him for each of those statements that you made just now. Now, can we quickly flip over to Psalm 121? I said we're going to read that also. We'll just read those few psalms and then we are done for the day. I enjoy reading the book of Psalms because they are the prayers of the Lord Jesus. Now, before we read it, I just want to read something out. Verse 1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. I read a number of commentaries. They said it's actually a kind of what was being said is, will I lift up my eyes to the mountains? That no, that's not what I'm going to do, because my help actually comes from the Lord. You understand? Okay, let me give an example now. I'll read that one from New Living Translation. He said, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? That is, there's no point looking around at the mountains. My help does not come from there. Are you getting my point? Good, I think it's good. Let me read that verse 1 in New Living Translation, and we'll go on together like we did the other time and end in verse 8, all right? Now, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Verse 2, read together. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 3, I want you to say amen to this. He will not allow your foot to slip.
Amen.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Amen.
He who keeps you will not slumber.
Amen.
That is, he will not forget to keep you.
Amen.
He will not for a moment look away.
Amen.
He will not allow your foot to slip.
Amen.
Now verse 4, let's read together. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
Amen.
Let's read verse 6. Personalize verse 6. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Now, I used to wonder, what does this mean? No, for a long time, I said, what is sun smiting me by day? That one is, I can understand the sun dehydrating you by day. But what about the moon by night? Then one day I said, oh. He said, he will not leave you defenseless. He will not leave you without shelter. The man that the moon is smiting by night is sleeping in the open. I said, oh, is that, you know, for a long time I was like, what is moon smiting you by night? Is moon painful? You know, you want to go and put your hand out, moon smite it, let me see what is this moon thing is. Then one day I was just thinking about it, I said, oh, it is easy now. He was just saying that he will not leave you without shelter. If the moon is smiting you by night, it means, you know, have you read this joke before? One man and his son went out camping. So at night, the father woke the boy up. Say, what do you see? The boy, being a very intelligent physics student, he said, I see constellation of stars. I see this, I see that. The father said, shut up. Somebody stole our tent. You understand? That for you to be seeing the stars, we are supposed to be sleeping under a tent. The boy was, he fixes, he learned in school, he practiced on his father. So I said, when he says that the moon will not smite you by night, what was he saying? Don't worry. God will never leave you without shelter.
Amen.
He will never leave you without protection.
Amen.
That's what he was saying. All right, so let's read it together. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Now hear the word of the Lord. The Lord will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
He will keep your soul.
Amen.
Together, personalize verse 8. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anytime you travel, safety is your portion.
Amen.
Sometimes people are traveling, they want to cover the road with the blood of Jesus. I've never done it. I don't know why people do it. I don't think it's good praying. If you like, do that. But really, don't pour the blood of Jesus on the road. It's not good. I don't think it's a nice idea. You know, sure. Shouldn't do that. I should have respect for things. Pour the blood of Jesus on the road. Then you now, your driver will not drive over it. Is it good? You say, check him. Are you getting my point? No, when you are traveling, just leave the word of God up, all right? The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That is the word of the Lord. Are you getting my point? That is the word of the Lord. It's not about pouring the blood of Jesus on the road. The blood of Jesus is poured over people's hearts. It cleanses our consciences. That's what it does. You sprinkle the blood on the, you know, on the holy place. All right. When it comes to us, we sprinkle it over our ears, over our hearts. That's the place they used to apply the blood. It's on people. Okay. Not by, you know, say all my enemies, the blood of Jesus. That's not good. They're going to get saved. Are you getting my point? And that's it. You'll be cleansing them. You know the one we say all the time. It was all my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. That's why they are tormenting you. The guys are getting more anointed every day. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
the person that needs the fire of the Holy Spirit is who?
Me.
Is you. Let me prophesy for you. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
And me too, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's where we need it, all right? The blood of Jesus on you.
Amen.
On your heart.
Amen.
In every part of your body.
Amen.
Cleanses you from all sins.
Amen.
Cleanses you from all effect of sins.
Amen.
Cleanses you of all afflictions.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is upon you.
Amen.
It's upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't pour it on the road. It's not good. All right, the Lord is good. What do you do when you are traveling? Just lift up this word. It's simple. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. It's God's that's God's provision. You want to fly. People say, hey, flying is dangerous. Don't make statements like that. Flying is not dangerous. Okay? It's only dangerous if you're a witch and you're flying across my compound. If you're not a witch flying across my compound, flying is a safe thing. Enter a plane. Let her carry you somewhere. Okay? Don't be afraid. All right, but how do you cure fear? It's not, determine I'll not be afraid. That they say flying is not dangerous. No, it's not like that. What you simply do before you enter the plane, say, the Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That's the word of God. That will help the pilot. It will help the flight engineer. All right, you are a savior. Are you getting my point? I mean, if you say flying is dangerous, you should fly more often to save those who might die. You get my point? Before you go in, you declare the word of God. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in. That's how, that's God's provision for protection. I hope you're getting my point here. You know, many people, when they want to travel, you know, somebody will give them something. I remember the story Pastor E. Adeboye told, how he gave his life to Christ. He bought a car, he had an accident. Now he go meet, I think he bought the car. You know, one man that came and said, let me give you something to tie on the stairs so you won't have accident. Now the guy jammed a few times in about 1 week. I tell the Baba, this is not working. But people actually do that, you know, they hang things, you know. And some of us who are Christians, we use a lot of religious symbols. We put fan front, we put rosary, we put cross, we put, so we just put Bible there. As if the witch wants to read your Bible and he wants to tumble your car. It is a word that you have spoken. What is keeping you alive is the word of God.
Yes.
Once he has spoken, twice you hear it. Are you getting my point? So when it's time to travel, you hear it a second time, you declare it, put it upon your lips, and you say, Father, I thank you, I'm about to set on my journey. It is written, the Lord will protect me from all evil. He will keep my soul. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in from this time forth and forever in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the protection of God. The word of God is not advice. So. It's not good feeling. It's God's weapon to create things around you. That word can spoil a road somewhere so that you won't pass it. Yeah. The word works. To just get up, the word will just break a tree. Cross the road. The driver will reach there. Say what happens? Say, tree don't follow. You'll be forced to turn and go and pass somewhere else. Listen, many times you've been delivered, you don't even know there was trouble.
Yeah.
The word does not always brag. Now I delivered it to you. Did you see that bullet fly past? View. Say, oh, praise the Lord. The bullet passed through my cap. Look at the hole. And it's so dramatic. And this is good. We thank the Lord for such things. But the fact is that most of the times bullets will miss you, you won't even know anybody shot. I remember one cartoon somebody drew once. A man was walking down. He didn't know the stairs were missing. The steps on the flight of stairs was missing. So, of course, he kept on walking. The Lord just put a hand there. He stepped on the Lord's hand and kept on walking. He will not testify and say, I climbed down today and I did not die. But he won't know that he stepped over where steps were broken. But when he just got there, the Lord just wanted to bear him up where? In your hands. So he won't dash his foot against a flight of stairs. And the guy will just walk past. Listen, for climbing up here, God was watching you.
Amen.
And you are going back home, he's still watching you.
Amen.
Safety is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word of God is divine protection. That's what it is. It's God's provision for every part of our lives. Let's read the last one and then we'll close quickly. Psalm 123. This is how you will pray, Christians. Remember we said, your Bible must be your companion. Read it all the time. Read it all the time. Psalm 123. I love this psalm. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Again, we'll do just as I've been doing. I read verse 1, then we'll read 2 together. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us. For we are greatly filled with contempt. People hate us, you know. Our soul is greatly... Okay, verse 4. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. I said something to us some time ago that anytime you say a prayer, especially like in the book of Psalms, That's the prayer of Jesus, and the Lord has answered him.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
That is for you, it's a done deal. So you say, the Lord is gracious to me. Declare it.
The Lord is gracious to me.
Because Jesus said, be gracious to us. Are you getting my point? And so we are receiving the answer. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The Lord is gracious to me.
He has comforted me.
You know, he said here, we are greatly filled with contempt. What the Lord does is to give us comfort.
Yes.
The Lord has comforted you.
Amen.
Now, I want you to say amen to that.
Amen.
The Lord has comforted you.
Amen.
What he just says is that keep your eyes on me. Don't keep your eyes anywhere else. Some people, their eyes are on, you know, some other things. How do I prosper? I need a visa. I need to go somewhere. I need to know somebody. That is why the comfort of God is not coming into their lives. Are you getting my point? If you keep your eyes on the Lord, I have the word of God for you. Comfort will come into your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, it will. You say, okay, how do I keep my eyes on him? Simple. Wherever your eyes were on before, go and pray and say, Lord, my eyes have been on this mountain. Now I confess that I remove my eyes from there. That's it. And the one thing you used to do every day before in trying to achieve something, doesn't do it for 1 week. Maybe somebody says that you need to drop application. Say, this 1 week, oh. In fact, how many have I dropped? I've dropped 7. I'm not dropping application again. Say, call this man, he knows somebody in that company. That becomes the sacrifice of praise, like Jesus will say. That becomes your sacrifice of praise. You refuse to call somebody. Say, call him, he will help. Say, I'm not saying he won't help, but I'm just saying I will not call. Why are you not calling? That's just my sign of faith. Somebody will call you foolish. If they never called you foolish, because of faith, you're not close to a breakthrough yet. The more they abuse you, the better your life will be. I'm telling the truth. Because if you are doing everything everybody is doing, what's the sign that you believe? Are you getting my point here?
Yes,
let's give the Lord thanks so we can go home. Just say, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the provision. We say his word is provision. Thank you for the provision. Say, Lord, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. My eyes, Lord, are on you. My eyes are on you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. My eyes are on you. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks for everything that he has provided. The source of life, which is his word. Give him thanks for it. Before we share the grace, I just want us to do something. Let us declare the word of God over our country, over our state, over our region here. All right? Just say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We receive peace for this country.
We receive peace for this country.
Because we are the salt of the earth.
Because we are the salt of the earth.
So we speak to Nigeria.
We speak to Eastern Nigeria.
We speak to Enugu State.
Receive the peace of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, every spirit of disturbance.
Every spirit of disturbance.
Every spirit of disharmony.
Every spirit of confusion,
by the authority of Christ Jesus,
as the people of God,
we cast you out
in the name of Jesus.
Say, we pronounce prosperity upon Nigeria.
We pronounce order upon Nigeria.
We pronounce the peace of God upon this nation.
We pronounce the unity of the Spirit.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Now let's summarize it by saying, will of God
be done.
Say, there will be freedom to preach.
Into every corner of Nigeria.
The word of God will progress.
It will prosper.
It will increase.
It will overcome all.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Add one for yourself. Say,
and I will be blessed in it.
Say, I will sow my seed in this land.
And in this land,
it will germinate.
It will bear fruit.
And it will multiply.
To the glory of his most holy name.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord thanks once again. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Now let's share the grace in fellowship quickly.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.